Hello and welcome back to First Year Jitters, the only show where we love easing your first year shivers more than the realization that Kung Fu Panda and Despicable Me are getting fourth movies this year. Oh my god, my childhood is coming back. I am your host, Omar Cabej. Now, today's guest is a special one indeed. He is a fifth-year student with his MA in English and Film Studies, and if you catch him outside of university, you will see that he is doing festivals with juggling, magic, and stage combat. So, may I please welcome Mr. Mise-en-Scene himself, Gerard Wallace. How you doing?
You want to try my name again?
Yeah, I'm going to try it again. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jared Wallace. How are you doing,
thank
Jared?
Thank you. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for being on the show, man. Really appreciate it.
No worries, man.
All right, I'm going to start with the questions here. So, first question I want to ask is, your first day at university, if you can recall, what was that like for you? What was going through your mind, and how did you kind of adjust into the university lifestyle?
Okay, so I did something that I do not recommend for anyone. Okay. I applied for my universities, and then I accepted them purely on vibes. I never visited a campus at all. And so I started my first day of classes, I guess, because I went into residence for the first time. I had to look up the buildings on Google Maps because I had no idea where the buildings were. So I'd be like Arts Building Laurier, and I'd be like in the middle of the quad and be like, oh yeah, just take these couple steps and go up the stairs. Back when by the quad, with like that patch of land, it used to be a deck.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, go up the stairs, go past the deck, and then into the concourse, and the arts is right there. And I'm like, so my first day, I was lost all the time. Had no idea where I was going, no idea where any of the buildings were. All I remember really was that there were banners everywhere saying Laurier number one for student satisfaction. And I was like, I'm not satisfied, I'm lost, man.
Oh, man, like, I feel bad. Like, I even took a tour during my first, but before this, and even I was lost. Like,
yeah.
I was like, where do I go get food? Like, am I just gonna starve for the first couple days until someone's like, okay, here's food? I'm like, I had to figure all this out, and it was just a bunch of wandering. Like, where's the... Oh, like, there's a dining hall that we have to go to, and then, like, oh, there's all, like, these places on campus, and, like, oh, man, my building's, like, a 10-minute walk away. Like, oh, man, this is going to be a pain. Yeah, but it turns out it ended up being fine. But, yeah, I get that, man. Feeling lost stinks. Now, what advice would you give to first years so maybe they don't have to be as lost?
Yeah, definitely. There's a whole map online about where all the buildings are. But, like, do what I did. Google Maps it. Don't be afraid to ask people. I know up-year students are intimidating. As long as they aren't business students, they'll probably respond pretty well. Because people, we're Canadian, right? Like, we're going to help each other out whenever. Like, it's like, oh, I'm lost. Hey, yeah, just go down here, go outside, take a left. That's where the Peters Building is, you know? Like, so, like, look at the maps online. And when you're feeling physically lost, when you're feeling mentally lost on your first day, there's a lot of services Laurier provides, but get some therapy.
Thank you for pointing out the services. Again, we always try to stress mental health here on the show. If you guys ever need, like, mental help, Laurier's got you. But, yeah, like, a lot of upper-year students are very helpful. I mean, I'm talking to an upper-year student right now, so
yes,
I can say that, yes, they are very helpful people. And, like, don't be afraid to ask. Like, I'll be honest, my first, like, couple days here, I'm like, oh my god, like, these people are, like, the elite. These people must know, like, everything and everything. They intimidate the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, they're just like me, except they're just a few years older. Like, oh, that's nice.
So I think that mindset comes from the hierarchy of high school, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's, you got 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th, 12th. And when you're in 12th grade or 5th year, you're like, I know everything about the school. I know the teacher's first names. I know what they do outside. I know their hobbies. I know where everything is in this school. And then they're like, all right, go. You're back at the bottom again. And people are like, oh, I'm back at the bottom. Everyone's intimidating because they know more than me. Well, fun fact, none of us really know what we're doing. We're all just kind of living our lives. And so this hierarchy that high school built for us kind of gets torn down, especially in your second year, because you're allowed to take third-year courses in your second year. In my fourth year, I took a second-year course because no one cares, right? So Like, I would blame high school for this hierarchy of, like, being of intimidation.
Yeah, that totem pole mentality just it's such a whiplash, man. But, again, thanks for that insight. It's good to know that, you know, these upper year students, they're there to help you. Even the business students, yes, despite what you say, shout out to the business students here. Shout out to the students. We love you and respect you.
We love you and respect you. It's a very easy target.
Yeah. All right, so next thing we want to learn about is your residence life. Like, if you recall, like, the first time stepping into a university residence, tell me what the difference was between, like, high school living and university living, and how'd you kind of adjust to that?
Okay, so, high school living, you live with your parents. My mom, specifically, she didn't like anyone touching the washing machine. So, I wasn't allowed to even touch my laundry. It was in the bin, gone. I had no idea how to cook for myself. I had no idea how to do my own laundry. And then university starts and they go, hey, remember all that stuff your parents did for you? Do it yourself. The amount of Kraft dinner I had was spectacular. And this is the first time that I had roommates that weren't my siblings, right? Of course, I had two roommates because I was in apartment style.
Oh, okay.
And there was Daniel. Daniel was chill. He never talked. I never saw him. And he would just, like, in and out. I'd bump into him in the hallway or something. And we're like, oh, hey, man, how you doing? You know? In between us was a nightmare of a human being.
Oh, okay.
Sherry. What a man. He was, so, you know when you're signing up for residence?
Yeah.
You have to fill out this form about who you are as a person?
Yeah.
His mom filled it out.
Okay, okay.
He never confirmed that with me, but I put in, like, I'm a pretty neat person, except for my room, but, like, my room is my room. But, like, I like my living room clean, I like my kitchen clean, I like everything else clean, except for my room. Clearly, his mom wrote in that he likes it clean. He was not a clean person. He left food in the sink for so long it got moldy. He was allergic to using trash bags, and so whenever a trash bag was full, he would empty it and then just throw the trash in the bottom of the bin.
I've also done that too sometimes. I'm just saying that there have been times where I just don't feel like putting the trash bags in. I'm like, yeah, I'll just put it in here.
You're the worst. Anyways.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
He wrote his name on the fridge in Sharpie.
Wait, permanent Sharpie? Or?
Yeah, it's a permanent marker. He wrote his name, and he blamed it on a girl. Oh, but, like,
interesting.
It was his handwriting.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Okay.
He stole my food a lot, too.
Well, if he's listening to the show by any chance right now, shout out to you. You're awesome.
Shout out to you, Sherry. I will fight you.
yeah, but, now, of course, we're all about giving advice here. What advice would you give to people maybe picking out their residence for the first time?
Okay, so study shows that apartment styles, though best for, like, space-wise, is the worst for mental health. Because the aspects, especially for the, like, cooking and cleaning style of apartment styles, is that it creates way too much dependence of yourself too quickly. And you don't see your roommates as much, so there's less of a connection with them. Even if they're good, even if they're bad, that connection is gone. I recommend doing single rooms or double rooms, sharing a room with a person. Even though it doesn't sound fun, it does create a stronger sense of connection within, especially people on your floor. And another thing I'd have to say is don't expect to be friends with your roommate. Like, don't push that. Most of the people I know are never friends with their roommates from university, from, like, the first year. Like, usually they move on and, like, move in with their friends. But their first year university roommates, they're never friends. It's people on the floor with you who are your best friends. So just accept that, like, yeah, like, your roommates aren't going to be the best. And don't go for apartment style.
Yeah, honestly, I was kind of tempting to go for apartment style because it's going to be like, oh, it's like all those sitcoms that I saw on TV. Like, oh, a bunch of, it's like Friends. Yeah, it wasn't going to be like that. I'm in a dorm style currently, and I'll admit, it is kind of an enclosed space, a bit tight sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll admit it. But honestly, I kind of like it, you know? Like, it's my own room. It's like my own space, my oasis. And, yeah, again, it's all up to personal preference, but it's good to get, like, that perspective, you know, what apartment style is like. So thanks much, Ryan, for that.
Yeah, no worries.
Now let's talk about a fun thing that every student likes to talk about, and that's actually doing schoolwork.
Schoolwork, yeah.
Yeah, so one thing that I like to ask my guests a lot is time management. Because I feel like, for first years in particular, time management is a skill that has to be learned.
Yes.
So, how did you learn time management, or are you developing your time management, and how have you developed time management?
So, I learned time management in fourth year. I'm going to be honest about that one. So, to give you a perspective of how bad my time management was in first year, I had to write a essay on a book.
Okay.
I think it was like 1,500 words. Like, it was nothing. Still didn't read the book and just kind of wrote it and I got like a C+ or something. And my friend was in that class and she read the book and she got like a C, and it said on her notes, it's very obvious you didn't read this, but I didn't get that. So I got away with that. And like, so that kept me pushing me being like, oh, I can get away with stuff like this. And that created a really bad habit. So I think it was like my fourth year when I moved out of my parents' place, because I moved back after residence. I moved out of my parents' place my fourth year, and I was like, wow, I need to actually like take care of myself, which means I need to actually focus on school. It's like I missed a due date for an assignment and I had like a mental breakdown because that had never happened before. And I was like, I need to figure out time management. Most people can just figure it out. For me and a lot of other people, something bad has to happen first. And then that's what kicks you. So I started allotting times in my days for schoolwork. I mean, like, no, I can't do that. I can't hang out today. I got homework today. This whole week, my friends have been like, hey, let's play games. I'm like, no, I can't. I've got 3 seminars, 4 reflections, and a book review to do. All in, like, a week and a half.
Jeez, man.
No, I'm lying about the seminar. It was only 3, but
okay.
But you know, like it was me kind of getting like a slap in the face, and then being like, okay, I need to actually say no to people. I need to prioritize my schoolwork over my fun.
Yeah, I think what also for me, I'll be honest, my time management skills in my first term was terrible.
Yeah.
It could have used some improvement. And I think for me, it was that high school thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, in high school, I feel like I didn't have to, like, prepare as much. And I was able to get, like, 90s. And I'm like, if I can do this in grade 12, I can do this in first year. You need no problem. So then I got my calculus midterm back.
Yeah.
And then I got my econ midterm back. I'm like, oh, boy, these are not the grades that I wanted. So now I'm like, oh, I actually got to study. And, like, I ended up finishing my first term okay, not where I want it to be, but I was like, you know what? I got next term. I got next term. And now that I'm like in this new term with new courses, I'm like, okay, I actually gotta like spend time and do the work now. So what I've been doing is, for example, one of my history classes, we have like these weekly written article reports that we have to do.
Yeah.
I try to get that done 2 days before it's due. That is like my prerogative. Get that done, like, as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
Because the less stress there'll be. And just another tip for time management people. Do the readings. I cannot stress enough. I know it's not directly time management, but I think it's part of it. Do the readings. Do them. I'm looking at you. Do them.
Can I rebuttal?
You know what? Sure. Yeah, rebuttal. Go ahead.
So, yeah, do your readings, obviously. As you go on through your next couple of years, second year, third year, do your readings. Fourth year, that's when it gets tough to do all your readings because every class is a seminar-style class. All fourth-year courses usually will be seminar-style.
Wait, hold on. Wait, just for the first years, man, I don't know. What is seminar-style?
Seminar-style is basically each topic isn't taught by the prof. Each topic is taught by a student.
So like a TA or an IA sort of thing?
Kind of, but like they're not TA or IAs, they're just students
with
you. And so you need to have a base idea of what their subject is before you go in, because otherwise your discussion will be moot. You'll be of no idea what you're talking about. So you're going to have to figure out strategies for when you're doing your readings to figure out what is best to for your own mental health. Because if you spend your whole time doing readings, you're going to spend zero time for yourself ever.
Okay.
So what's the best way to get through a reading? I had a prof say, read the first sentence of a paragraph, read the last sentence of a paragraph. If you kind of got the gist of what it is, move on.
Actually, I heard that from some people, and that very helps. Mm-hmm. Again, I think with time management, the important thing is, like, balance.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm...
And if you have a seminar to present that week, skip the reading for something else. Like, focus on that seminar. Yeah, that's 30% of your grade right there compared to you get, like, a 1% of participation for that day, right?
Yeah.
Prioritize your percentages, obviously. Like, don't... So if your participation mark is worth 10% and there are 12 courses, that means less than 1% of participation per week. So, yeah, skip a reading if you have a huge assignment due. The assignment that's worth 30% is going to be worth more than 0.7% of a mark for a different class.
Exactly. Now, speaking of time management, reading week is coming up in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. What would you give advice to people for reading week? Because I know reading is in the name, but what would you say about that?
Who reads during reading week? Be honest.
You do kind of have a point. Like, the first half of the last reading week, I did nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
And then, like, the second half, I'm like, oh, wait, I have, like, 4 midterms after reading week. Like, oh, right, shoot, I gotta go, like, read. No. I'm like... Yeah, honestly, I think that stress could have been alleviated a bit if I just kind of took it a little bit at a time.
So we are extremely fortunate with Laurier because Laurier doesn't need to do a second reading week. I know University of Waterloo is very iffy about their second reading week. Sometimes it's just 3 days.
Yeah.
It's be like, yeah, I got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off, but I have to go back Thursday. I've seen that before. So we are really fortunate having a full week for a second reading week. But... So too many people see it as just a March break.
Or a vacation, yeah.
Right? I've seen people literally go on vacation. Yeah, you can do that every now and then, but especially when you're going to, like, your later years, fourth year, and if you're going for your master's, do not go on vacation. Spend some time. Do it. Definitely take a couple days to yourself, because that's what reading week is for, right?
Yeah, obviously.
A mental break. But then be like, okay, I have a bunch of homework to do, or, like, I got a bunch of midterms. If I can... hash out some study habits real quick. That way it'll stay in my brain a little bit earlier. I know last reading week, I got dumped. Like, first day of the reading week. So I spent the whole reading week doing nothing. And then I came back, and they're like, oh, hey, you said you were going to start your essays. Because my essays were 30% in each of my classes. And I went, oh, no.
Oh, no.
And then I had to go into seminars again and started my presentations and all these assignments I had to do. And I had work and my running my tutorial. And I was like, I don't have time. I don't have time anymore to do my essays. So I think I had 3 days to write one essay per essay. And I had 3 essays. And I still got an extension on one of them because one of the feedbacks I got from my essay proposal was not good enough. And I was like,
oh, ow.
Yeah, I was like, okay, so I got to, like, rehash this whole idea. So that took me, like, 5 days to figure out.
Man, yeah. I mean, to be fair, though, for a first-year student, I think reading week will almost seem like a March break. Because, again, you got to remember that, like, these first-year students are coming from high school.
Yeah.
I came from high school, like, last year. And that's last crazy. Year, break meant break. That meant no work. That meant, like, nothing school-related. Mm-hmm. Just chill.
Just vibes.
Yeah, but the vibes ain't fully here on those reading weeks. Like, you gotta do what the name implies and read. But again, thank you very much for your insight about that. It's good to hear that. And to any first-years listening, of course, take some time for yourself. Take a couple days to get yourself settled. No problem. Spend time with family. Go right ahead. But just make sure, during that reading week, do some reading.
Yeah.
It's gonna help you.
Or, like, do an assignment. I'm sure there's an assignment you could get done that's, like, due in, like, 2 weeks, and it's, like a reflection.
Get this. That means you have one less thing you got to do now.
Yeah. Do it then. It's so much easier.
Exactly. Now, speaking of other studying, Let's talk about exams. I know. Everyone's going to be like, oh, is it exam season yet? It's not even February
yet. It's midterm season. And those are just mini exams.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to think that midterms are coming up like that fast. People are like, no, midterms aren't happening yet. I'm like, oh, yeah, they are. For some classes, I know midterms are happening next week.
I had a class in my first year where I had a midterm today, the 31st of January. I had a midterm. Shout out to Dr. Nyman.
You couldn't even end the month yet. You got to do a midterm.
No, he hit me with a midterm. And I was like, oh, why? It's been 4 weeks.
But let's talk about how did you prepare for your midterms or finals during your first year or throughout university years? And what advice would you give to other people preparing for their midterms and finals for their first time?
Okay, my first year, I crammed everything the night before. I was a solid B minus C plus student in that my first year. Second year, COVID hit.
Yeah.
And so a lot of exams were canceled. So I lived my life there. Third year was COVID year, where all the exams were take home exams, which were just like big essays. So I didn't really do much. And then fourth year hit. And I was like, oh crap. Exams. So I have a lot of tips for studying for exams that I had to develop in my fourth year because COVID happened. But I would say one of the most important things is understanding how we learn. Understanding how we learn is such a huge aspect to studying, because if you try to cram everything the night before, you're going to get nothing. If you try to cram 10 minutes before, you're going to get nothing. The reason why is because short-term memory only holds about 7 to 10 things on average before it gets stored into long-term memory. So if you try to put in more than 10 things into short-term memory, 7 to 10, that's a rough guesstimate. But if you try to shove more, it drops one of it, being like, that's not important anymore. This is more important, the new thing.
And
so it doesn't get stored in the long-term memory because your short-term memory dropped it.
Yeah.
So what's the best way of moving things from short-term to long-term? Sleep. So study before bed, a couple nights before your exam, start studying, start looking at things, start writing things down physically with your hand, and then go to bed. Do not cram, do not do anything, just take your time with it and take a couple nights, like maybe an hour or two every night for a week of just studying. And it doesn't have to be one subject. That hour or two could be multiple subjects at once. But then you go to bed, you wake up, and you're like, I still retain that because I actually put it in my long-term memory.
Yeah, I actually had a film TA tell me about that. Very interesting guy who told me about that.
That guy, whoever he is, he sounds smart.
Yeah, he was. For those who don't know, Jared was actually my film TA.
Oh my god, the smart guy was me?
Yeah, it was you. Crazy. It was you. Jared, it was actually my film TA last year, and he literally told us like the exact same thing, and I was like, oh my god. Like, it almost was like you found, like, the knowledge to life. I'm like, I can do this, and then I can actually remember. And you also mentioned something that intrigues me, mm-hmm. and that is physically writing things down. I know a lot of people like digital notes. I use digital notes.
I love digital notes, man.
But why? Do you have a preference between physical and digital?
I love digital notes. Digital notes is the way to go when you're in class, because you're going to be, especially in our modern day, our generation is faster at typing than writing. Yes, a lot of us learned handwriting or some people know shorthand. If you know shorthand, go for shorthand because that's awesome. But digital is a lot faster. You can type in the information on the slides and then start listening and type in what your prof says.
Yeah.
Of course, put it in your own words. But if you want to study, you're going to want to, A, use colors. Colors is a lot easier to remember than black and white. So use a highlighter and physically write down the important information, because when you're writing things down, you slow down, right? You're writing each individual letter stroke by stroke rather than just hitting a button and then like a T shows up, right? So if you're writing, just like if you put your hand in the air like you're writing, you notice that you're writing each stroke one by one. An H is down and then up around. An A, a circle with a little bip. You know, like you slow down and you actually have to think about what you're writing. So that's why writing is a lot better for studying, while typing is a lot better for notes.
Yeah, I remember during my, what was it? It was my econ class.
What even is econ?
Microeconomics.
No one knows.
That's referring to. It's EC120. Shout out to all business students taking EC120. Let's go. But anyways, for that entire class, I'll be honest, I didn't take any notes during the lecture. Because I'll be honest, I'm one of those people that, like, for a while, I couldn't take notes during the lecture. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, I couldn't do both at the same time.
Yeah.
But then, when I was studying for my final exam, what I did was I took my notebook out, and then I wrote down all the key notes from every single chapter. I call it a master review.
Yeah.
And, like, that actually helped me a lot. Yeah. Because, like, I actually remember physically writing it down. And, like, I think what you're saying is completely true. Will it take more time? Yeah. But I think it's going to be worth it more. And I think it's very important. If anything, like you said, do digital during the class. And then for, like, exams and stuff, write it out.
Yeah. And if you want to write it out in class, absolutely. But remember, some profs are fast.
Yeah.
My best friend, she and I would be in the class. She'd write everything down. The moment that the prof switched slides, she would look at my screen and start writing down what I typed because I was a faster typer than she was a writer. So, yeah, writing, if you want to go writing, absolutely no shame. Just you are running the risk of just losing information because you weren't fast enough.
Yeah, and what would you say also in terms of studying about getting help when it comes to studying? Like in terms of like talking to teachers during office hours or TAs or things like that. What would you say about that?
So getting help is a huge thing, absolutely. So your TAs and profs will want to help you. They do not go out of their way to help you because that is counterproductive. You have to do it yourself. Because if you show that you genuinely are looking for help, you say, I want to succeed. If you just kind of let people go up to you and be like, yeah, I do need help. Thanks for asking. You're not setting yourself up for success. You're setting yourself up for failure because that's not how real life works. People don't go up to you and be like, hey, you're struggling. Do you need help? Not many people do that. I think 1 in 10 people do that. You're going to have to do it yourself. You're going to have to learn some independence. And like, so profs are great, especially in your first year. I'd say if your first year has TAs, go for the TAs first because your prof has like 200 students to worry about. So they're a little distracted. When your TA has 26, 25 students. And so I'd recommend like if you're in your first year with TAs, go for the TAs. If you're in a first year class with no TAs, go for your prof. And if you want to study with friends, be very careful. One time I went on a study session with friends and then we played Jackbox the entire time. And then I got a D in the class. So be very careful when studying with friends. You want to get a group of people who actually want to study and not want to just hang out.
Yeah. In fact, you be honest, it can be something as simple as sending an email. You don't even have to go to the office hours. Like for like a TA, for example, like just send an email. They're pretty good at getting back to you. From my knowledge.
Yeah.
And then everything's solved.
My emails go straight to my phone, and I usually respond pretty quickly because, you know, students need answers, right? So I try not to be, like, available at all times. Like, I'll turn off my email notifications on the weekend, but...
Yeah, yeah.
Because weekend's my time.
For sure. And I know we're jumping a bit ahead a bit to, like, your later time here at Laurier.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting to know. For first years that I'm interested in becoming TAs. So obviously you're a TA.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a couple things about that. Mm-hmm. Mainly, how did you become a TA? What would you say to people who want to become TAs? And what would you call your teaching style as a TA?
Okay, so there are multiple different ways to become a TA. I know for the English program here at Laurier, when you get accepted as a master's into English, you are automatically signed up as a TA. And they do pay you. So you are right there. And fourth years can be TA. So if there's not enough master's students or PhD students to cover the TAs that we need for the first year courses, they will reach out to fourth year students. Fourth year students can also let it be known that like, hey, I want a TA. So if there's an option opening, let me know. And they do get paid. They're just not under the union if they're in fourth year. So that's how you become a TA, at least in the English department. I'm not sure about other departments, but if you're in fourth year, you have to ask. I know for the medieval studies, program, you have to be asked by a professor, and it's a whole class about being a TA. There's a whole class that you take, and then you're a TA for a first year course in medieval studies. So, but you have to be asked for that one. So being a TA is very difficult here at Laurier, because you A, have to prove yourself to a professor, and B, you either have to be scouted for it or to ask, and then they'll put you under consideration. But if there are no positions available, you don't get it. If the most successful way of being a TA is getting accepted into your master's. So that's how you would become a TA. And there's this whole thing, because there's a union and all that, but...
Yeah, so I'm just curious, how did you become a TA?
I got accepted in my master's.
Oh, nice.
That's it. That's all I did. And then they were like, okay, yeah, what class do you want? What time slot do you want? And I said, I'm a film student. I would love to be in the film class. Any time works for me. I think for this one, I said I could only do 5 to 6. That's the only time I could do for this semester. And they were like, yeah, for sure. Here you go. And I was like, thanks. To go back to your question about like what my teaching style is as well, I would say it's very relaxed. I try to be comfortable with the students and to treat them like adults, because this is the first time they are adults. And so if I try to like baby every student, they're just going to hate me.
Yeah.
So I try to treat everyone with respect, and my version of respect is I will make fun of you. So beware.
I am aware of that. Yes.
Because it's funny. And I find that most of my favorite teachers in high school were the ones that made fun of me, because they were relaxed, they were calm, and they were willing to make jokes. And what's most important, yes, getting the respect of students is super important. What's important is passion. You got to be passionate about what you're talking about. Otherwise, the students don't care. If you show zero passion and you're talking like this, so when you're talking about the movie Rear Window, which is what we're talking about this week for Film 103, and you're talking like this and you're looking at the aspects of editing and how the camera work affects the narrative, it's boring. It's boring. So if you add inflection and you're talking about it, you're going, see that scene? This guy's kind of creepy, right? Like, you're making jokes about it, and you're like, you ask the students what they think, and then you validate what they're thinking. You're like, I like that way of thought. This is the way I saw it, but I can see how you think it. And it's a tough line to balance between respect, friendship, and passion.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for the insight on being a TA. That's really cool. And again, of course, you were my TA when I was in last term. Like, you were my first exposure to what a TA was. Mm-hmm. And I can vouch, like, you had a very relaxed personality. You weren't shying away from making jokes at my expense.
Specifically me.
Yeah. but it was all good fun, and you did seem very passionate. And again, like, all the teachers, my best teachers in high school were the ones that you could tell like they loved it, but they were just so relaxed about it. Like, they would sometimes like break the fourth wall. They might mention like pop culture things in teaching. Like, I had this history teacher that for one of our classes, we had to take an historical topic and then relate it to pop culture.
Yeah.
So what I did was I took Rodrigo Borgia from the Renaissance, and then I made it about Assassin's Creed, since he was the villain in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
And like, that was great. And that showed like he was willing to kind of think outside the box a little bit to get us intrigued. And yeah, so that's really, really cool. And thanks for all that insight for those who want to come to TAs. Really appreciate it. Now let's get into some pretty cool fun stuff, and that is the community. Community here at Laurier, as you know, is fantastic, amazing.
Yeah.
In first year, how did you get involved in the community, and what tips would you give to other people getting involved in the community?
I didn't. I did nothing.
Okay. That's completely fair. So, when did you get involved in the Laurier community?
This is a little embarrassing, but it wasn't until my fourth year that I actually started getting involved, which is crazy when I think about it now, because I'm a huge part of the Film Society Club here at Laurier. I'm a member of a member on their board and on the leadership team. And I don't actually do much there, but I get people excited, and I talk to first year students about coming along. But yeah, I didn't get involved until my fourth year, which was insane. I think I did something my first year, or was it my second year? I did the board game club. Shout out to the board game club. if they're still running. I have no idea.
I think they might be. I know there's a video game club here at Laurier, but
yeah, I almost went to that one too, but it was always when I worked at the time, because I was trying to balance school life and work on top of like extracurriculars, and I just didn't have time for extracurriculars, so dropped that one out. But no, it's the community here at Laurier is very welcoming. I've never really had a bad sense whenever I go to community events. Because they want people to have fun. That's, like, a huge thing for them.
I mean, no, totally. I mean, like, hey, I'm doing this show, aren't I? And, like, hey, this is part of the Laurier community. Like, literally, you can go apply to do something on Radio Laurier.
Yeah.
And, like, I think they were literally doing, like, sign-ups, like, a couple days ago. And, like, that's really, really cool. And, again, like, there's all these really cool things. Like, in a residence, I know there's house councils or campus councils or anything like that. That's great. There's a lot of clubs for everything. Like, there was a video game club. Like, there's, like, a professional Super Smash Brothers tournaments in this school. Like, that is crazy cool.
I got last.
Yeah, but, yeah, so tell me a little bit more about the current thing. You say you're probably, like, you're a big part of the Film Society club.
Yes.
So what exactly goes on for those who might be interested?
Yeah, Film Society is a club that, We if you love film, if you love talking about film and, like, kind of, like, analyzing film, or you just love trivia about film, that's what we're about. Like, we love talking about facts. We love talking about what the meaning behind film is. Every year we do our Cine Talk, every month we do our Cine Talk. Once a month we meet up at Wilf's, we pay your food, and we just talk about the movie of the month, which you can vote on the Film Society Instagram. This week or tomorrow at 7 p.m. in the main arts hall, the main classroom, we're doing movie trivia, and you can win Cineplex gift cards, right? Like, we're all about just getting people involved and having fun. Later in the year, we're going to be hosting an Oscars party where you can kind of guess who's going to win, and we're going to stream the Oscars live, and you can dress up. We're all in, like, suits and dresses, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, exactly, and, like, yeah, I know, like, it does seem very fun. I might actually stop by. Who knows?
Do it.
I know, I it sounds really cool. And again, anyone film interested here in Laurier, go check out Film Society. You heard it from the man himself. Speaking of film, as you know, you are a TA in film.
Yeah.
So, what are some of kind of, like, the fun parts about being, like, a TA in film specifically?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so, in my master's classes, they're EN 600 level. Like, that is, it's level 600. That is the courses we're taking. And a lot of the students, there's only 8 TAs for film and 16 TAs for English. And so, yeah, I don't see all of them. A lot of them are PhD students, so I don't see a lot of them either. But the stories I've heard about the English TAs where they have to do way more work than film TAs because they have to analyze novels. I think last year they had analyzed Pride and Prejudice. So they went through the whole book of Pride and Prejudice, and they went through each individual aspect of each chapter, and they had to do this, like, big assignment as a TA, where as the film TAs, we were just like, let's talk about movies, the movie of the week. And so it felt way more relaxed, and, like, my other students, the other kids in my class with me, they seemed way more stressed about being a TA because, like, they had to do way more than I did. But I think it's because they were analyzing a whole novel when we were just looking at, I think last year was film and genre, we were just looking at the genre, right? So they were trying to analyze the meaning of each little thing, and we're like, why is this movie a genre? Now, this semester is a lot harder for being a TA because we have to do a lot more because we're understanding narrative function over genre. But genre is genre. Narrative function is narrative function. Those are two very different things. So I'd say being a TA, film TA, it's a lot less intimidating than being an English TA. But it has its own challenges, and especially with students who don't try. I had a student last term who I kept trying to give him back his mark or a couple of the assignments, and he just wouldn't take it.
Huh.
I, like, tracked him down on the exam because I saw him twice. He showed up a tutorial twice, and I was like, hey, man, do you want your stuff back? Do you want your midterm back? Do you want this back? And he was like, no, I'm good.
I mean, that's completely fair. Yeah, but Yeah, I was meaning that film and genre class was very fun. Want to ask, out of all the films that we saw in film and genre, which one did you enjoy most talking about, and one that you may have enjoyed least talking about, I guess?
My least is Mulan.
Not the one that you're thinking about. We didn't see the 1998 great Disney animated film. We saw the we saw the 2020 version of Mulan.
I think I had a whole slide that week that was just why I hate Mulan 2020. And I specifically spent most of the time talking about the exam and like how to prep for the exam because I didn't want to talk about Mulan because it's such a dog water film.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I think my favorite to talk about was Star Wars, the original Star Wars.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that you showed a very special version of
yes,
Star Wars.
Yes, I did. It was the theatrical release of Star Wars. So George Lucas, when Star Wars first came out, he released in the theaters, and about 20 years later, he re-released it as the special editions, and the original versions are very difficult to come by because he basically erased them all and replaced them with the special editions, which were filled with CGI, filled everywhere. And it's like, yeah, some of the CGIs were great. Like, the explosion of the Death Star was way better in the special edition, but a lot of the CGI was weird and a little not great because it was in the 90s. And so I had the original release because it a lot of it looked better, and Han shot first.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of funny memories, if you recall from your first year, any funny things that happened to you in first year that you just look back on with fondness?
Oh, that's a good question. Any funny thing that happened to me during my first year? Yes, absolutely. So, I had a class. This is from the class that had the midterm January 31st. It was ML100, Medieval Studies, and it was supposed to be an hour and a half lecture every week, or 2 hour and a half lectures every week. But the professor, Dr. Nyman, love the man. If anyone knows him, he has a great mustache. That's how I'm going to describe him. He cut the class down to 50 minutes because he said all the content we're going to, we don't have to go through the entire hour and a half twice a week. It's just an hour instead. And I was like, yeah, great. No worries. And then I think it was in March. He comes in. He's looking a little off. And he puts his laptop down. And right when class starts, he goes, all right, guys, I'm not feeling well today. So when I can't think properly, I'm going to go home. That class lasted 15 minutes. We got 15 minutes in and he went, all right, my thoughts are bubbles. Goodbye. And he went home. That's probably one of my favorite moments from a professor because that really showed you how relaxed professors are. Because I know in high school, they're like, professors would never let this. And I'm like, if I call a professor by their last name sometimes, they get offended. Like, they're like, no, call me John. And I'm like, okay, John. It really shows it's just like, yeah, he wasn't feeling well. He just went home. It's like the I'm a head out meme from SpongeBob.
That's pretty funny. And I think it's just so funny too because I remember in high school, again, all my teachers were like, oh, professors are going to be so strict. They're not going to let you leave until the bell rings. You know that. But then I hear like this and I'm like, oh, they're just like us.
They're just like us. The amount of times I've seen students just leave in the middle of class. It's one of my favorite things, too, because the profs don't like it, but they don't stop you.
Yeah, like, there's no attendance taken during these classes. Like, if I had a dollar for any time I saw, like, just someone leave the class, I would probably have enough at that point to probably buy my own house.
At least pay off your tuition.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. Thanks for that. I'll never forget that, truly.
I'm a head out.
I'm a head out. A meme.
I wonder how much like cold medicine he took. I think we just turned into colors at that point. Like we went from students to just like abstract figures. And he went, oh no, I should go home.
Yeah.
And, like, he's still kicking today, so he drove home correctly, so.
Yeah, again, if that professor's listening, shout out to you, man.
Shout out to Dr. Nyman. I think you're a great prof.
Yeah, he's awesome. And I'm glad that you got better. Now, one thing I want to do also, the last kind of, like, topic I want to talk about is reflection. Kind of summarizing this kind of up here.
Yeah.
When you were going into university for the first time, what were some of, like, the worries that you had going in? Like, things that you thought university was going to be like and it wasn't, or things that you thought it was going to be like and ended up being true. What was kind of going through your mind?
I thought it was just going to be like school, right? Like regular school, like high school. I thought nothing of it. I was like, I'm going to have to write a couple papers. But like by the end of high school, you'd written a couple papers. And my thought process going in was like, I'm going to have to take care of myself, but I'm still going to make time for friends. I'm going to do all this. And I had so many plans around university. And then when I got there, it was way harder than I thought it would be. And so all of my plans are just gone.
Biggest understatement of the year.
Yeah. It is. Study shows that your marks go down 10% on average. Like the average mark you had in high school go down at least 10%. So if you were an 80% student in high school, you were 70, and like 75 to 65, you know? So, and they keep telling you this, and you know it's going to happen. And then you get there, and then you forget it all immediately. And then you're like, yeah, it's fine. It happens every year. It happens every year. You start the semester, and you're like, oh, this is easy. I'm going to do my readings. I'm going to get ace all my classes. And then you get like 2 weeks in, and you're like, I'm tired. I want to go home. Now that happens every semester.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be a lot easier than it ended up being.
Yeah, everyone does that.
Yeah, no, totally. And something else, again, we talk about mental health a lot on this show because I think it's very important. Like,
yeah.
It's supposed to put the guard for yourself. If you don't mind, how did you kind of look out for yourself during like your university time? It could be first year, it could be any years. And how'd you kind of help yourself with that?
So I was weird. I have ADHD.
Okay.
And my ADHD allowed me to kind of dance around that stuff.
All right.
And so, yeah, I was stressed, but I got through it. You know, I kind of just, like, pushed through it. It wasn't until my fourth year that I developed.
Everything comes back to fourth year.
Well, fourth year was after COVID.
Yeah.
My fourth year, I developed anxiety. And that's when I started stressing about things more. And I went into existentialism and all this stuff. And so my first 3 years of university, I was fine. I was happy-go-lucky. You know, I was a little sad that I didn't do well, and my time management was bad. But I got through it easily. I never felt that I needed therapy or anything. It was my fourth year that I developed anxiety and existential dread that I was like, oh, no, I need help. There is a great service that is connected, that hires master's students of psychology here at Laurier called Delton Glebe, and you can pay $30 a session for therapy. And you're like, oh, they're a master's student. Like, they're not an actual therapist. They know more than you. So, yeah, it's $30. It's literally down the road from here. Like, it's across the street from, like, the Martin Luther College. So, like, that's what I did. I went to therapy because I was like, I need help. I need ways to cope with this, and who's going to know this? Me and WebMD, or a master's student whose literal job is to do this?
Exactly. Yeah, again, I think that's actually a really cool resource, one that I actually didn't know of until just now.
Yeah.
If anyone needs that.
Delton Glebe, G-L-E-B-E.
Yeah. As someone who also has been through anxiety myself, like, I struggle with it too.
Yeah.
And for me, honestly, for me, it was music. Like, music, like, good song to listen to every now and then, it really kind of brings you back, you know? And it kind of, like, and also, I think just talking with my parents helped me a lot. I don't know, just family's always going to be out there for you, and it's good to know that you have that support. But again, it's also good to have that support that you just mentioned. And, yeah, it's really cool. Now, let's get a little hypothetical.
Uh-oh.
Let's say you got a time machine. A TARDIS just is right here.
I do love Doctor Who, yes.
Yeah, yes, a TARDIS. Uh-huh. And you had the opportunity, it's hard-coded, to go back to your first year.
Okay.
What would you say to your first year self now?
Break up with your girlfriend. Yeah. There was no hesitation with that one.
Jeez, man.
Yeah, she was the worst. Anyways, that's not what this is about. What advice I would actually give my first year self? I would probably slap myself and be like, hey, idiot, school's way harder than you think it's going to be. Actually try and be a good person about it. Because if you, there were a lot of times I had to cancel plans last minute because I was super behind on school. So I would probably, like, I ruined a lot of friendships in my first year because of that. I'd probably just slap myself and be like, A, break up with your girlfriend. B, like, you know, do the work. Do your readings. And explain, I didn't know where what Aries was, the course reserves, until my second year. I would explain to myself what Aries was and, like, how to find the readings because I had no idea.
Wait, so then how did, wait, was there course reserve readings during your first year?
Yeah.
Then how did you, then how? How did you get through?
I have no idea.
Oh, man.
I think it was just pure natural intelligence and just guesswork at that point.
That's an anomaly. There is one final question I want to bring up before we wrap up the show.
Yeah.
And just to settle this once and for all, mm-hmm. I think you know I'm going to ask. It's kind of become a bit of a meme in the TA, in the class I was with you in.
Yes.
In film, there's a term called mise-en-scène. Just to clear it up so that no one has to ask, what is mise-en-scène?
Okay, so mise-en-scène is literally anything on the camera. That is the base definition of it. Acting, lighting, sets, props. You know, like anything on the camera is mise-en-scène. Camera work is not mise-en-scène because that is the camera work. That's camera moving. It's not on the camera. And there's one student in my tutorial, and he showed up in my tutorial this term, and he's not actually in my tutorial, but he just shows up anyways. He just, he'll keep asking random hypotheticals about what mise-en-scène is, and it killed me every time because he was right. But I had to prove myself to him. I had to be like, no, I'm better than you. Shut up. So he'd be like, so if I got a camera in space and I aimed it at the Earth, would everyone be mise-en-scène? And I said, no.
All right, if that student is listening, shout out to you, man. That will always be like one of the coolest things that happened in that tutorial. But yeah, just for the record, that's what mise-en-scène is.
Mise-en-scène, yeah.
Before we wrap up the show, just any final thoughts you want to give to first years? Just kind of summing up what you were saying, just kind of final parting words here?
Yeah, do the work. Do your readings. Skip some if you are stressed about another assignment because your mental health takes priority. And never, ever, ever write an essay the night it's due.
Don't cram, it's a scam. Yeah, that was a terrible pun. I'm so sorry.
You should be ashamed, yes.
Yeah, I know I am. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for
having me. Awesome to have you on. And, well, guys, until next time.